It's Saturday morning in Italy, and you're listening to the Magic Towns Italy podcast.
Hi, everyone. We are back with the second part of our conversation with Jen. In the first one, she told us about her bad experience with a contractor who turned out to be a scammer. So in this episode, she shares some advice on what to watch out for if you're thinking of buying and or renovating in Italy. So yeah, happy listening.
I've been kind of using my story to help other people, mostly Americans. You know, the whole system in the U.S. is 100% opposite of how it is here. And, you know, Americans come over thinking
they're going to find America.
Well, they think they're going to find the American system of home purchasing, and it is not at all. I mean, it's like, you know, you're just a little fish in the water of a lot of sharks running around because there's very little guards, protections here. I mean, and there are protections to some degree, but also to the practicality of the safeguards actually always being used is a little more tricky. In the U.S., we have the multiple listing service, and it protects us from everything, I should say. The professionals that you work with are held at a very strong accountability. There's really no way they can get around. If anything happens to you, it doesn't fall back on you, the property owner or the buyer. It falls back on generally the real estate agent, because the real estate agent handles the entire system in the U.S.
And there's two of them. Whereas in Italy, you generally only have one agent. In America, you have a buyer's agent and a seller's agent. I used to live in the U.S., so I at least had the pleasure of using that system myself.
Yeah.
So at least you have someone that sits in your corner. Whereas in Italy, it really feels like the agent is, has a mixed allegiance, both for the seller and for the buyer.
So yes.
On one side of the equation and some on the other.
Yes, very much so. I mean, it's very hard for an American if they come here and something negative happens to them. You know, they buy a house with an illegal build on an illegal porch, or, you know, and they've worked with a geometra and everybody's promised that it's legal and they find out it's not. You really have no way to fall back unless you want to get involved into the Italian legal system. And I don't want to do that.
In fact, No. It's a long road. It's a long, winding road. But one thing I want to say is I have lived in a lot of countries. I've done a lot of renovations in many countries. My best experiences were actually, strangely, in New York, because for some reason I just got very lucky that the contractors were very trustworthy and reliable.
Oh, wow.
But you were my lucky. My worst experience was in Denmark, in Copenhagen. It's actually the only time I went to court with a builder. And had terrible experience in Malta with a scammer, very much like the guy that you were mentioning. And we were lucky to get out pretty quickly and without outrageous losses. But other people, and that's your point about, I feel, about scammers, even against our advice. I mean, I went to some people who were considering him and I told them, dude, I literally just made it out of there with my skin on my back. Do not. And this person, for instance, gave me €100,000 up front after my advice not to do so. And as history tells us, lost everything. Sometimes you don't want to hear the bad news, but if there is bad news, you have to listen to it. If someone tells you, you have to be careful. Well, maybe there's one that's saying that.
Yes, exactly. And also, there are a lot of Italians here who say, if you're going to buy a house, you don't need a lawyer. You just need a notaio to handle the system. But I say, okay, that may be true for Italians who understand the system really well, and they know what to expect.
But if you're an American
coming over here, or really any non-EU or EU citizen, whatever, you don't understand. You need a lawyer, and you need one who works solely only for you on your benefit and on your behalf. And even then, I say you still need to understand the process. You need to understand what the lawyer is, you know, what they are talking about. You need to understand this process. And I still have Americans who say, but my estate agent says I don't need one. I don't see why I need to pay that lawyer fees.
That doesn't surprise anyone. Why would an agent generally want to interpose another person that can really only complicate matters for them? It's easier to be done with a sale and get on with it.
And you're more likely to have problems with your estate agent than you are with your lawyer. And lawyer fees also, too, I mean, Americans think lawyers charge a lot here. I mean, the lawyer takes actually a very small fee, and it's only relative to the price of the house, you know, so...
Compared to U.S. lawyers, I have to agree with you. Compared to U.S. lawyers, people will probably find that, generally speaking, I'm one of those in the field that if you know what you're doing, it's fine. If you just trust the notary, because the notary does do a fair bit.
Yes, no, I agree.
If you go in, you have no idea what you're doing. Having a lawyer pays for itself. You will have the lawyer pay for themselves just with the discounts that they will get you against some of the inevitable defects.
Yes. I am one who says, get your own estate agent who works solely for you. Get your own geometra. Hire all these individually who work only for you. Don't hire a geometra that's referred to you by the estate agent. But at the same time, some of these property lawyers who work particularly with expats, you know, with English-speaking expats, they're now have, you know, good quality people within their team that know how to work with expats as well. So I think some of these lawyers that I have met that I really like have a good team that you can trust. And, you know, we're getting more and more people saying that, yeah, they worked with their whole team and they worked really, really well with them. But I think some of these estate agents who come equipped with the geometra and I don't feel comfortable with that at all. Although there are a few now estate agents who I know who are doing a whole package where they work just with English speaking expats or buyers coming over. And then I spoke with somebody who purchased a property through them and they found out after they purchased the property that they have illegal features on the house. So
having
it still happens. So it still happens, which to me is just more and more. I mean, you have to learn how to making sure that somebody has gone to the catasto and has compared the property as it is with the cadastral plans. I mean, you have to know as the buyer that that has happened and ask for the records, ask for the report. You know?
And this is why it makes a lot of sense, no matter what, even if you have a very trustworthy real estate agent, to have a local architect take a pass at what you're really thinking about buying. Maybe you're spending $200K, $300K on a property, and you have to spend half of 1% on getting someone's true opinion, a qualified opinion on it. Well, first of all, that's going to pay for itself because inevitably they will find a worm in the apple that will warrant a €3,000-€5,000 discount. And if it's you against the seller, it's one thing. But if it's the architect saying it, then that discount will come. So I find that normally that pays for itself.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that it is too big a purchase not to be advised. Even if you have the wrong real estate agent, there is literally nothing to lose by having. You know, it's like going to the doctor again. You have a general practitioner, but then you probably want to go to a specialist for the really in-depth audit.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I still get a lot of pushback from it. You know, or they think they don't really need to find out anything until they found the house. I'm like, God, you know, because I built an app, and then it's like it's on the phone. I'm like, it's here. All the information is here that tells you step by step what you need to do, who you need to have, who your professionals are. It's $29.
You have to send that to us. I want to see it.
I actually have two. One is Find and Secure Dulce Right. So it's about buying a house. And I'm actually going to do an update on it here shortly, including how to navigate renting. Because I think for a lot of people, that's a better avenue or at least better, you know, just to live here for, but particularly if you're thinking of living here, you really need to understand what life is like here before you make that decision. I think a lot of people have turned around and gone back. The other one is Renovate and Settle. That's all about renovating. Well, I have actually several apps for other things that I've done, but I actually came completely out of retirement after all of this happened. And last year, I'm 68 years old. I started a tech company out of the blue. It was kind of an accident. And I know I've had people contact me. It's like, wait a minute, you're 68 years old. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know anything about tech. I was a hairdresser, you know, in my profession, you know, but I love it. And I think that the Magic Towns, that's amazing that, I mean, I'm going to start talking about Magic Towns because that for people to, I mean, I knew of it too before, but you know what? I've had my head like an ostrich in the sand building and kind of promoting these apps. This summer has been crazy. But I think really a strong tool like you have to really discover where to go in this country is like, you know, that's the main question people ask out there. That's the first question they ask. Where should I live? You know?
Yeah, but you ask a random guy, you know, John from Glasgow. We always talk about him. They always ask him. He doesn't exist, actually. It's a thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know.
It's a persona. For the expat that has never set foot in Italy, but they're like, yeah. You have to move to, and then there's like three towns. It's always the same three.
Yes,
and people
exactly.
have no idea.
And everybody thinks that where they live is the best. And it's because nobody wants to admit that maybe
they
could live in a better place, you know? And like, we're actually considering, I love this house, but you know what? I think we made a mistake actually thinking we could really maintain a house from a distance. And we're thinking of selling our house next year and just getting an apartment, you know, and maybe just renting for a while. And we're thinking of the North. We really want to see Northern Europe, you know, and train travel from the North would just be so easy. I mean, it's an 8-9 hour train ride just to Milan from here, you know.
Besides, I'm willing to bet $50. You are of Finnish ancestry.
My husband is, yes, my husband is. And we've never been to Finland, you know, and that's on our bucket list. Yeah, I'm actually German and Scottish.
Okay.
So, yes, you can ask the guy from Glasgow. That could be me.
You should think and come and see us in Northern Italy.
I will. We were in, we took the train up to Bologna and stayed and met friends up there, stayed several days in Bologna, and then we rented a car and we drove up through, we just bypassed Verona, and I've been to Venice and that, but I really would love to see the Verona area more. We went up to Lake Garda and it was beautiful to stay there in November when nobody was there.
No.
And I fell in love with that town, De Cinzano
yeah,
di Garda.
Yeah, De Cinzano, yeah.
That was a lovely town and it's still lively, I think, all year round. And, you know, you're still easy to get to other places. And we went and we stayed in Piemonte and that was absolutely beautiful. But yeah, we're really interested in the North.
I'm curious about something. If you had like three lessons to give to someone to not end up in the same place as you've been with a renovation that is in the hands of a scammer, what would you tell them?
Oh, God. Well, other than buy my app, you know,
that's advice.
Like, well, I hate to say this, but I say, don't trust who you consider the professionals. Find out the most important thing is learn the process yourself. Learn it every way. Talk to people. Don't talk to just people that are telling you all the beautiful stuff. And don't come in here with this romantic version of it, thinking that's what it is. You know, if somebody is just selling you on the romance and the beauty and fostering the dreams that you have, then consider that a red flag. There are a lot of things that can happen here. And so you need to come in here very, very prepared. You need to learn the process of buying a house. What step goes after what step? What step goes after the other step? How the geometry should act? What to expect from your lawyer? What to expect from your estate agent? What to expect from the notaio? You need to know what to expect from all of these people so that when they don't behave in that manner, then you need to, that's a flag. You need to find out for yourself, what's that telling me? One of the big things is don't trust the listings when you're looking for house. The listings that you see are, consider those to be proof that the house exists. It may not even be proof that the house is for sale, but that house exists. That's all that the listing tells you. The information that's included in the listing you can't consider that as to their people. Owners can lie. Estate agents can lie. There's no accountability and there's no laws against what they can say in a listing.
Jurisprudence in Italy shows that a listing from an agent is not a contract. So people had tried to take realtors to court for saying, hey, but this wasn't in the listing. That's not a contract. They can write that it's a Disney fairy castle when it's a hovel, a dungeon, and that will have no consequences other than reputational, of course.
Exactly. That's why, I mean, you know, so oftentimes, you know, Americans, I think it's the same as British. I think it's the same as Australians. I think as many people, when they come in here, they really want to trust the professionals and what they tell them, how things are, is what they want to believe. And that's where you're going to get into trouble. If you just believe what they tell you without knowing better, you're going to get into trouble. Now, there are people who have not gotten into any trouble and who have done that. They've been very, very lucky. There are a lot of people out there who say, I had an excellent experience with so-and-so as my estate agent. Well, yes, that can happen. But it too all frequently doesn't happen. And the people that have had bad, negative experiences don't talk about it. People don't want to admit it, you know?
And there's something else you can say, if I may. A lot of the time, when you see people on social media praising such and such professional, it is very often the professional. Using persona. We have seen that a lot of times.
Yeah.
And there is one person in particular that I'm thinking of that literally is like, it's like a cue. Like someone asks about, I need an advisor, comment right underneath, 5 minutes later from this AI picture person, oh, such and such is great. And then he replies 5 minutes later, thank you for the referral. I'm so surprised to see such good things about me. Well, you would have another account.
It's so obvious. I actually think LinkedIn is actually a pretty good source for, you know, a lot of really good professionals.
I agree.
Especially some lawyers are on LinkedIn. I think it's a really good place to find people. And I actually have in the apps as a feature, a professional directory where I put, you know, lawyers. But here's the thing. I don't have very many because I only put in them who I consider to be vetted.
That's horrible.
And those are people that have been referred to me, people that I contact them because I've already found good things about them. I look for them on LinkedIn as well, and I read their history and I look them up, and then I message them, and if they're interested in talking to me, then we get on WhatsApp or Zoom and we have like a good long 2-hour interview and we talk all about it. And you know, they have to tick off all the boxes. And then, I mean, even since then, like there was somebody that I really, really liked and I was just on the verge of putting them in the directory. And then his contact just became really poor. And so it's like, I'm not going to use that guy, you know, and I have been accused. I mean, it's just crazy when you put yourself out there to people on Facebook. Somebody comes on and says, I hear you're just picking people out of Facebook for your professional directory, you know, and I'm like, well, that's not true. You know, so I have to go back in there and defend myself. It's like, no, that is not true. And I don't know where you're hearing this. I'm like,
Jan, as we say, there's always a guy on social media that, I mean, they tell us that we promote towns because we want to sell property there and we don't have a property listing. We make no money from realtors. So, you know, just a bunch of unhappy people that will say,
yes. So I'll tell you the one professional I have a really hard time finding any of is a geometra. And everybody's like, okay, you went with so-and-so, but I wouldn't recommend him. So I will just fill it as I find, you know, I'm committed to trying to just keep good people in there.
So. I know a lot of good ones, but very often the English is very poor. And that is an issue with all professionals in Italy. You may have the best professional, but absolutely useless to an expat, unless you kind of interpose a single translator.
Yeah. I have a really great cross-border tax guy. He's an Italian here in Puglia. He just moved back here after living 10 years in the U.S., but he knows everybody here. And like, he's a great source for somebody to, you know, because he's got like a really great commercialista who works with expats. And he also knows several good. So these people can be really good sources to find another good professional, even if that profession's not what you're looking for. If they work with American expats and they speak English, they're probably a good person to talk to find others through.
Well, I think you told us a lot of interesting things about the buying process, but also, you know, just you were honest to tell us your personal experience and how that also in one way wounded you, but also how it gave you the energy to start advising people. So, Jen, thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thank you.
That's it for this week on Magic Towns Italy. You can create a free account at magictowns.it and explore over 7,000 towns, including those offering the 7% tax scheme, as well as download dozens of expat guides. We have over 300 data points per town covering everything from property prices to schools, healthcare, distance to the amenities you care about, geological risks, and more. If you want full access to filters and unlimited searches, upgrade to Magic Towns Premium. Use the code PODCAST for 20% off an annual plan. Thanks for listening. Our next podcast will be live on Saturday at 9 a.m.